Ready to start?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent.
Hello, I'm Jessica Kadzo-Collins, and this is the Inside the Jewel Vault podcast. Each episode, I ask my guests to choose the six gems or jewels they would put into their fantasy jewel vault. I hope you enjoy listening. We recorded this episode remotely. I am delighted to welcome Katerina Perez to the Jewel Vault. Katerina is a pioneering jewellery blogger with over 300,000 Instagram followers who track her glittering journey in fine jewellery every day. Russian-born, Katerina worked as a freelance journalist and content editor for Russian and English magazines. She studied gemology at the Gemological Association of Great Britain, the GEMA, here in London, and founded her own blog devoted to fine jewellery in 2013 whilst working in jewellery retail in London. In the years since, Katerina has featured an amazing quantity of high jewellery, all curated with her flair and taste, and champions the work of talented jewellers all across the globe. Welcome, Katerina. I can't wait to see what you've got for us inside the Jewel Vault.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh, Katerina, you have worked with some of the most incredible jewellery designers and artists and the most astonishing gems in the world. So how have you managed to pick only six amazing pieces for your vault? What is the criteria you've used?
That was definitely tough because you can imagine how much jewelry I see on a daily basis. But I try to pick the pieces which have a personal meaning to me. And some of them are very beautiful. Others evoke certain emotions. Some of them are related to certain important events in my life, like my engagement ring, for example. So the basis of my choice was the emotions and the meaning behind jewelry. Also, I feel that jewelry is not just a pretty object. It has to mean something to us. It's an emotional piece, right? So that's why, you know, there's six which were quite tough to pick.
I can imagine, yeah. So take us back to your childhood, back to where your journey in jewelry started. You were born in Russia, is that right?
So I was born in St. Petersburg and raised, and I graduated from university there. And I was born in a family of artists. My mom restores paintings and my father, he restores antique furniture. So the art aspect was always with me. It just took me some time to understand what is true art for myself. I don't really know how to draw. I don't know much about furniture, but I see jewelry as a form of art, which I personally gravitate towards, which I adore and which I want to know more about. And this was the basis of starting my website and social media to share with everyone out there the beauty of this form of art and also educate.
Almost like an evangelical mission for you.
For sure.
So back in St. Petersburg with your art-loving family, were you exposed to jewellery there?
Yes, in fact, the first, let's call it, exposure to jewellery was through my grandmother, who loved jewellery as much as I do, and she had an extensive collection, but it wasn't precious. So back at that time, normally a jewellery box will be filled with gemstones, but it will be malachite or amber or something less precious than diamonds and sapphires and rubies. But of course, for a child, I remember, I think I was about 2 or 3 years old when I first discovered jewelry. And in fact, obviously, I don't remember this, but this is something which came back to my memory after my mother showed me this photo of mine of 2 years old, where I'm covered in my grandmother's jewelry. So I thought, you know, I've always had it. I've always loved it. It just was a matter of time until I really understand, you know, how I can feed this passion into something bigger.
Yeah, so that's just wonderful. Actually, you shared with us this fabulous photograph of you as a small child, and you are literally smothered in gems and beads and necklaces. It must have been so much fun as a little girl.
Exactly. And I still look, what do I do now? I travel all over the world. I meet different designers. I go to different exhibitions and I continue my childhood dream because I still do the same. I still try all of those beautiful pieces of jewelry on. The only thing which has changed is the level of my knowledge and appreciation. And the reason reason why I do it, but at that time it was a subconscious desire to, you know, admire all that beauty.
Well, the only difference now is that you're doing it with 350,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, now I don't just admire it, I share with many people out there. But at that time it was for me to explore the beauty of jewelry and to understand what I like about it and what fascinates me, because honestly, it's a big, big passion. And I think one of the things why I have quite good following is because people can really feel that passion. It's not just about, oh, look, this is sparkling, this is pretty. No, it's about how jewelry speaks to me, what it means to me, what is the difference between all the pieces of jewelry I encounter, what's good, because, you know, I'm super selective with what I show. I believe that I curate really well, because for me, again, since it's art, I want to select the best to show to my audience. It's like taste making, you know, helping them to, you know, grow this, you know, selective taste in jewelry. Because of course, like with every media of art, there is some good examples and not so good examples. So I try to choose the best to show the what beauty exists out there.
Yeah, so it's your grandmother's jewelry box that makes it into your jewel vault, first of all. And it's so wonderful that dressing up and playing with jewelry as a little girl sparked your passion. How did your interest in jewelry grow with you as you grew up?
Well, in the fact, when I was in at university and at late school years, I used to make my own jewelry. In Russia, it's quite popular to make beaded jewelry, you know, with the little beads. And I used to create very artistic pieces, and I used to actually sell them to my mom's friends. And I had my little audience, you know, who would buy my jewelry from me. And I used to make flowers and trees and different art objects with that as well. It was very interesting, but sadly it really made my eyesight deteriorate, and my mom she invested into, you know, an operation to do laser surgery. And after, I thought, okay, it would be not fair to continue with this and maybe risk recurrent deterioration of this eyesight. So that's why for some time I forgot about it. And then I moved to the UK, and then I was working in retail. And eventually, you see, like, when it's your destiny, it finds you. So eventually I started working in a jewelry boutique. And this is when all this passion and emotion came back to me. And I was like, what was I doing all these years? I was meant to be related with jewelry so long ago. You know, why was I wasting my time? But at the same time, I understand you have to go through certain stages in life, and maybe if I was exposed to jewelry right away, it wouldn't be the same, you know. So
you were writing as a freelance journalist, is that?
Yes, so I was working in retail and writing at the same time for some time.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you set up your own website?
So the website I set up when I was working in retail, but of course in the beginning it was pure hobby. I didn't really expect it to turn into something important, to have a big following, to be read by thousands and hundreds of thousands of people from all over the world. So it was simply to feed my passion for writing and for jewelry. And slowly, I saw how it was developing. And of course, you know, at some point, my employer came to me and said, look, you're working with us, but you write about other jewelers. We don't feel comfortable with that, which is correct. My employer told me, you know, now people recognize you, so we don't also feel comfortable that you write about other jewelers and you work with us, which is understandable. And I also could relate to that. And I said, yes, sure, you know, I know where you're coming from. And I took the risk, you know, I spoke with my husband and he said, okay, let's do it. You know, you can carry on, you know, feeding your passion through writing, and we'll see. You can always go back to retail, which is true. And that's what I've done. At that time, I had some people who supported me in the first steps, because, of course, it's quite risky, you know, to go from a secure full-time job to undefined future, really. So, but you see, at the end, it all worked out for me through hard work, through passion, through
yes,
desire to do more and better.
Yes, lots of hard work, I can imagine. And it was a huge pioneering step to take at the time, particularly in the world of jewellery. So, Katerina, what jewels were you seeing then at that point that inspired you to take this big new step?
So one of the jewels, which actually I did encounter when I worked with my last employer, Bogosyan family, because they're known for really rare and unusual gemstones and collectible jewels. And in fact, one of the pieces which I'll never forget, because honestly, when I worked with them, I was exposed to such a wealth of real treasures, like real jewel treasures. It wasn't just about the design, which was also extraordinary, but the actual stones were sometimes exceptional. Like the one jewel I remember, I don't know if they still have it, is a necklace with a chameleon diamond. And in fact, even though I studied gemology before that, I never even seen a chameleon diamond, or I don't even remember studying about it in my GMA classes. So for me, it was a real revelation that there is a thing like a chameleon diamond. I remember I used to take it out of the safe, you know, because it does really change the color from like when it's in the darkness and when you bring it out to light. I think like from orangey to olive green. And it was magic. You know, it was one thing to describe jewelry. It's true magic.
Yes, they're the rarest gems. In fact, in 30 years, I've only seen one.
There you go. Yeah, it's super rare. But at that time, I was simply enchanted by gemstones, and I understood why, because they are wonders of nature, and it's something which is beyond our power to create. It's from above.
Mm. That's so well put. So that's your second item in the vault, is this amazing chameleon diamond. Is it a pendant?
That was a necklace, yeah.
It's a necklace by Boghossian. And can you explain, can you describe it to us?
So the necklace, at that time, I remember it was a big heart-shaped chameleon diamond. So it's like of olive color in the center. And it was set on a bed of like greenish tourmalines, which were arranged as a rays of sun, basically, around the neck. So it was kind of an extravagant, very avant-garde design, which was one of the signatures of Boghossian. You know, they're quite daring in their jewelry designs. And this is one of the reasons why I like the pieces so much.
Yes, they have an astonishing technique, don't they? So that's piece number two. What is piece number three? Tell me, I know this is going to be a very special piece to you because it's your engagement ring.
Yes, my engagement ring. I think it... Of course, it's very important emotionally because it's an engagement ring, right? Like for everybody else. But I think what I remember about it, at that time, I wasn't related to jewelry much. And I didn't write about jewelry or knew really. I didn't have such deep knowledge about jewelry at that time. And I remember looking through the magazine and, you know, like for any girl, the blue box is a little dream, right? So if you say a blue box, Tiffany, you know, it'd be becomes something you'd really want to have. So I saw an advertisement in the magazine. There was a ribbon, and on that ribbon there was a set of five different engagement rings from Tiffany. And I just said to my husband, you know what, there's one of these which I really like. And when he proposed some time ago, it was actually the one I liked. That's why probably I, you know, has such special meaning to me as well, because at that time my husband read my mind somehow, and he proposed me with my dream ring. So, of course, it has a wonderful memory for me and a special place in my heart.
Yes, of course. So tell us, what is the ring like?
So the ring, to be honest, it's called the Tiffany setting. It's a very traditional ring. It has a diamond sitting on a simple platinum band. And it's a signature design of Tiffany, which is called a knife edge. So it's kind of pointy band. But it's perfect to wear with other jewelry because there's nothing on it, just platinum and one single diamond. That's why I really liked it.
A simple classic. And you wear it every day?
I'm actually really bad with wearing jewelry on a regular basis because I really change it depending on my mood. And I would never take it to my business trips because I'm always so paranoid about leaving it somewhere. When I go to exhibitions or to meet jewelers, you can imagine I try so many things and I'm always too scared that I'm going to just leave it somewhere, getting too excited about other pieces. So I personally don't feel that it's a necessity to wear even your engagement pieces. Like, I don't need to prove anybody my commitment and my love to my husband, but it's a sentimental piece which I always have in my jewelry box or wear. So it's not for me an everyday ring, but it's definitely a very special one.
Yeah, for sure. So, Katerina, you started your website in 2013, and now you travel the world meeting artists and designers in gold and precious metals and gemstones. How has your career blossomed so well? I mean, it's really taken off.
You know, it all comes to the few basic things. One of them, of course, is passion, because in fact, I believe do it with passion or don't do it at all. It's a big motivation and, you know, big source of energy as well, because in fact, it's very difficult to understand how much actually goes behind the scenes, how much work needs to be done to achieve so much, you know, to have the website running on a regular basis, to have social media channels being constantly updated. You have to generate ideas all the time, but behind the scenes, you know, you have to go and meet people, you have to create that content, you have to always imagine what's the next step, how do I present the information I have to people. So it's fascinating. So in reality, it was due to hard work and passion and always desire to achieve more. For me, this is the most interesting part, that in my work, I wear so many hats. So I am a writer, I am a content creator, I photograph jewelry, I build business. No one taught me a single thing how to do. I'm super curious about many different things. So I've learned by trial and error, by self-education, by listening to others' advices, by studying case studies, you know, and I carry on doing this every day, because once I've achieved one thing in my career, I want to do more. Now I'm developing my first course in jewelry and gemstones. So there's always something new and interesting to learn and to develop. This is the best thing. But of course, you know, it all comes down to hard work.
You do admire the work of artists, don't you? So talk us through item 4 in the vault.
Yeah, my very coveted item 4 is sadly not something I own, but something I would love to have in my jewelry box. It managed to escape it in a way, because once I've seen this ring, it's a ring by Salvador Dali. It was the original design, which his jewelry in New York manufactured, and in fact it was the original. There were a few of those kind of rings. It's angel's wings made in gold, and you have three small diamonds in the center, and there is Dali written on the ring. The few of these rings were made at the time, and in fact the jewelry dealer who had it, they were exhibiting at Masterpiece. So that was maybe 5 years ago. They had the papers as well to prove the provenance, that it's an original piece. But at that time, for me, it was expensive. I couldn't afford it. And now, obviously, I can afford it. And it's not there. You know, it's been sold at that time. And now I regret it so much. That's why my philosophy in life, often, if you really, really want something, you have to find a way to have it, because you're gonna regret so much after.
Yes. How many of these were made?
I think maybe I'm not gonna lie, I don't know, but I think around 7 or 8, something like this. But the reason why this is so important to me is because I'm a big admirer of the Salvador Dali and his art and his crazy mind. So that's why for me it was so special. It would have been so special to have a piece of him and his imagination like on my finger. But I'm still hoping that one day I will be able to find it at some maybe auction house or at another antique jewelry dealer. Or I haven't given up yet, but it's like one of the dreams.
Well, what was it you said earlier? That when it's your destiny, it will find you. So maybe it will come back to you.
Yeah, you have to send the signals to the universe.
Yes, that's so right. So tell us about beautiful item 5 in your vault.
So my blue butterfly, I think it's one of the craziest jewelry purchases which I've had. It is a big titanium earring with the blue titanium and a little bit of diamond and the blue zircon in the center. It's a solo earring, so you only wear once. It's quite huge. So I call it my mascot, you know, it's my little pet, which I wear actually quite regularly. Even though it's a statement piece, I don't want to wait for an occasion to wear it. If I love it, it goes well with jeans, it goes well with some dress. It's a dressy piece, but I want to look good and happy and enjoy it whenever I want, right? And not when the society dictates that. So this is my theory, actually, with my work. Like, I want women to really enjoy jewelry, to understand it, to desire it, to buy it, to enjoy wearing it, and not to think of what are the norms. I believe we create our own norms of how jewelry should be styled and worn and when. So,
oh, I can hear your little boy. Great.
So tell us about your blue butterfly. Who designed it?
So there is not a designer who sells to the final client. It's a designer who works for one of the jewelry houses. So sadly, I can't share the name. But it was a very spontaneous purchase. As I said, sometimes I believe jewelry chooses us, not we choose jewelry. And in fact, it happened at Baselworld. I was one of the Baselworld exhibitions, and I went to see my friend and her brother. He sells gemstones. So usually I admire his gems. And I saw this butterfly and they said, oh, take it, wear it a little bit. You know, you love jewelry. I would like you to wear it for some time. So I put it on and for a few hours I had it on. And then I'm like, I cannot part with it. This has to be with me. And, you know, the reason why I say it's one of the craziest jewels of mine, because it wasn't so cheap. You know, I don't normally buy jewelry. I have my jewelry as gifts because they have to have some emotional value. And good intention and positive vibes. And if I just buy jewelry for myself, it kind of loses its magic for me, because my personal opinion on jewelry, I don't buy it for the beauty of it. I buy it for the emotion I get with it. And when I wear it, it's like a talisman. My jewelry are mostly talismanic. But with this one, you know, the butterfly chose me. So I had to work it out how to have it. So it was meant to be.
Yeah, it was obviously meant to be. So tell us about your piece number 6 in the Jewel Vault. This is a very intriguing looking bracelet.
So the bracelet, in my number 6, it's a jewel which was gifted to me by a friend of mine from Qatar, Reem. She is a jewelry designer from a brand called Witr. And in fact, you know, as I said, she has such a positive, lovely personality. When she gifted this eye bracelet to me, it was designed by her. It's a gold piece with an eye inlay with turquoise and I can't remember what other stones there are, but it's a beautiful eye, which actually reminded me a little bit of Salvador Dali type of eye as well. That's why I fell in love with it instantly. And she just couldn't help it. She's like, you have to have it. Like, I see how much you love it. Take it. There was a bit of a shock, but I said, okay, well, you know, it was probably also meant to be. If you want me to have it, I will have it and it will be my talisman of good luck, which it is, because I also has certain symbolism coming from the right person together. I feel this is a very powerful jewel for me. So I wear it quite often as well. You know, jewelry has so much meaning to those who own it. Well, to those who own the pieces, from jewelry is capable of empowering women, of altering the mood, of making you happier. So that's why I feel that it's important to have jewelry and to wear it and to, you know, help it feel happy.
Yes, a positive force. That's right. That's a good definition. So, Katerina, tell us, with your travels all around the world, you're exposed to so many new ideas and trends. Where in the world excites you at the moment for new design, new jewelry design?
In fact, I find that Greek designers are really being very inventive with their image, well, with their designs and techniques as well. They're really thinking outside the box and creating something which I don't see. Well, which I don't see much on the market and which I haven't seen before. So I really salute the Greek designers. They really explore their creativity, and this is what I like. It's admirable to see people not focusing, well, to see designers not focusing on the commercial aspect of design and of their jewelry, but to really express themselves through what they create. For me, DNA of a jeweler, of a brand, of a designer is very, very important. This is what I look for when I scrutinize different pieces of jewelry. Is it original enough? Does it reflect the personality of the designer? How does the idea, something that is intangible, right? How can a designer turn it into something that can be worn? And how they express themselves through jewelry? This is something really interesting to see.
Yeah, very interesting. So, Katerina, do you have a soft spot for any particular designer?
Honestly, there is quite a few. You see, it's always... This is one of the most popular questions. Katerina, who's your favorite jeweler? It's like when you ask a mom, who's your favorite child? You know, everyone is so different. There's jewelers who are amazing at enamel work. There's jewelers who are amazing at gold. Those who are being really inventive with inlay. Others really exceed in their gem setting. I mean, it's simply impossible to highlight one or two, even 10. Especially with my level of outlook, you know, the amount of jewelry and jewelers that I see on a regular basis, it makes it completely impossible to choose. But I know that in terms of, for example, techniques, that can be a little bit, well, easier in a way, because I like to see techniques which are not very easy to create. Like gemstone inlay, for example. I love the art of inlay and how one stone is placed in another stone, or it's made in a form of mosaic to create a pattern out of gemstones. Or I love it when designers work with unusual materials like aluminium, like titanium, even things like Boucheron, for example. They created in the past jewelry with marble. They created just now jewelry with one of the very interesting materials recently used by Boucheron and jewelry is called aerogel, which is in fact, it was used by NASA in the Stardust project for capturing stardust. It reminds you of sky, like a little cloud. And in fact, it was perfect for the collection. And the necklace is called A Drop of Sky. So it was just ideal to representing this little cloud captured on the neck.
Oh, that sounds magical.
It's brand new. So it just was launched last month.
I'll go and find your article about it.
For sure.
So for those of us who don't really understand Instagram, how do you make it a business that generates an income?
With Instagram, you have to be really creative and you have to really analyze the audience, see what they like, what they need, how to make them excited. Of course, the basic of blogging, let's call it blogging, is advertisement. But for me, it's very important to really balance not to make my Instagram look like it's a selling platform or that, you know, brands just pay me and I post whatever. I don't work on that basis. I only post what I really like and I let brands pay me for that. It might sound a little bit arrogant, but this is the way it is, because the most important thing for me is to be true to myself and really showcase my taste and what I really like in jewelry. And in fact, I get a lot of positive comments and a lot of appreciation for being true to myself. So
you're maintaining your level of authority and integrity.
Exactly. This is why I'm always on the lookout for new jewelers or new designers who I haven't met before. I do a lot of research to find the designers who will potentially be of interest to my audience and to feature them. Collaboration, it's not the goal, but it's obviously a positive side of my business, because I have a big team. I have to support my family and my team and grow my business. And also, I don't think followers can really understand how much one needs to invest, not only on the level of time or workforce, but also financially to create photo shoot, to create beautiful collages, which I offer, even to travel to exhibitions, you know, and stay in hotels and flying on the planes. And, all these expenses also have to be taken care of. So that's why I think nowadays it's normal, it's a job to be a blogger, and people understand. When I started 7 years ago, brands wouldn't understand why they would want to invite me to their exhibitions or to their jewelry showcases. Why would they even want to go and see and write online what is online? When now I get invited along with all the other important print editors. So it's equally important right now, just a different media. And in fact, I think many of the listeners, you know, those who listen to this podcast, they'll also agree that most of the time they would consume information online through their phones rather than buying a magazine. So it's a new way of learning about things in the world.
So Katerina, where will your journey in jewelry take you next?
Whew, good question. Right now, I'm really working on developing new markets in my work. I've recently just started social media in Asia, because this is a market which I'm very interested in. I can see how much people in Asia appreciate jewelry and design and gemstones, and I really want to talk to them more. So I have a team in Shanghai who take care of my social media there. I hope that this is a new market for me and I can grow and develop it further.
Yeah, well, I think your unique blend of knowledge and passion and your deep connection to jewellery and what it means and how it can enhance our lives can only be, you know, welcome over there.
And the fact that I create my own content, so I don't just repost pictures or post what brands share with me. I go and see, I filter through my knowledge and through my vision, and then I present it in my own way. It's very important for me to stay true to myself, to my taste, to my vision of jewelry, and to have people who follow me to be a part of my jewelry community. I don't see them as my followers, I see them as my soulmates in a way. You see, everyone who is there with me, who likes my pictures, who comments, it's much more personal journey to me than maybe to a blogger in the meaning that we're used to, like a person who posts and that get paid and they showcase their maybe life on Instagram. I feel for me it's different. It's my personal journey, and I'm super happy to have all these people on this journey with me.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. So, Katerina Perez, you have 6 very beautiful and very meaningful, quite unique pieces in your fantasy jewel vault, starting with your grandmother's jewelry box, the chameleon diamond necklace by Boghossian, your classic diamond Tiffany engagement ring, the Salvador Dali wing ring, your beautiful blue butterfly earring, and finally the inlaid eye bracelet by Wita. And as you know, the rule of the vault is, if you can only keep one piece safe and secure forever, which piece would it be and why?
The engagement ring. I think we all agree that, an engagement ring is the most important jewel in every woman's life. And even though it's very simple design and I know it can be replaced, the intention of when this ring was given to me can never be replaced. So that's why it's, I can buy another blue butterfly. The eye, I know this friend will always be my friend. And Boghossian ring was more on a wow factor rather than something emotional. But the engagement is something the most sentimental.
Yeah, and the fact that your husband read your mind, he chose the right engagement ring for you.
Exactly.
Thank you, Katerina. I just want to say it's very unusual and rare to find someone with such a passionate and deeply emotional relationship to jewellery. So thank you. It's been such a pleasure to see inside your fantasy jewel vault.
The pleasure was all mine to share with you guys a little bit of my journey. And I hope I managed to infect you with my passion. And you'll follow my Instagram and follow Well with Jewellery as much as I have.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we did recording it. You can find images of all the wonderful jewels we've been talking about, along with lots more information at our website. Just go to vipjewelvault.com/podcast. And I want to hear from you. Tell me, what special pieces would you put into your fantasy jewel vault and why? Every so often I'll be collating your stories into a podcast of their own, so please get in touch and of course rate, review and subscribe so we can keep these conversations as meaningful and joyous as we can. Thank you.